Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others, you've tuned me in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM, 92.7 FM, or 100.3 FM over in the Lower Ada area at 8 o'clock. And I welcome all of those of you that's tuned me in at Ionia. Others that tuned me in to Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I need to let you know that we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. And that's something that is very special in our period of time. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those of you that's listening by way of my website, I welcome you. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Just bring your mouse up over Messages from the Lighthouse and click on Current Media, and it'll take you to the message for today. Whatever way you tuned me in, I'm just saying thank you to you for all of your blessings and being able to tune me in, and I appreciate that so very much, and I count it a privilege to be able to share with you this week. Been a very busy week. I need to say thank you to my sponsors that take care of the financial costs. So a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area. Big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area. And to Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area. And then to Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years. I also need to mention that services at the church is not able to be there. That's something totally different. That beautiful building just sits there after week by week, and it's waiting for us all to get back again. But I need to tell you from Shiloh, from the village of Shiloh, from our Orleans campus, the message will be at 10 o'clock, and that is going to be Pastor Jim Lacey sharing a message. And then our campus in Greenville, the message is going to be live, and Pastor Paul is sharing that message with us, and that's going to be at 11 o'clock, and that's on the Facebook page. So tune them in. They're doing the very best that we can possibly do, and that's something very special. K.N. King Singer brought my music over last week for the month of May and for the month of June, and that just let me know I got to start working on July. And so we'll be doing that in these next few weeks. So a big thank you to K.N. King Singer for selecting the music for this morning. As I shared a message with you, I'm over here at the Lighthouse. It's been a very rainy day. It rained all night Tuesday night. And then I was coming over here to the Lighthouse to do it in the morning. But now it's noon when I finally got over here. I have gout once in a while. And I had a big bout with gout. I couldn't even get a shoe on. And, of course, everything down here to the lake is wet. So I had to figure out, do I want to go barefooted? Well, how do I want to do this, you know? So finally I was able to get a shoe on. I'm over here. We're looking forward to sharing the message with you and just asking God to give us a very special time together. So as we get started this morning, we're going to be looking at Joseph's life. Joseph was a very special person in my life when I first became Christian at 17 and a half. And then I got into God's Word a little bit, and I was reading the story about Joseph's life in the book of Genesis, and it really spoke to my heart. And God used Joseph to be a mentor to me, to teach me, to show me the things that I needed to know, and that was very special. And he's a very special person to me, and I'm enjoying sharing this message with you, because it made so much difference in my life. And I learned things from Joseph that I want you to learn. And there was things as he went, we're in a pandemic, they call it, or all kinds of names they got for this that we're dealing with. But you know, I kind of think of this as his personal difficulty that he went through. He was 17 years old when he was raised, when he was being raised up as a boy, and his brothers sold him into slavery. And then for the next 13 years, things were very difficult for him. And then he was raised to the place of prominence about a few years after when he was 30 years old. And about 39, he was retired. He was reunited with his family by a miracle of God. And he lived to be 110 years old before his death. And that's just a little background of him. You know, this period of life for him was all the difficulties he went through, and God was with him all the way. And I want to use him to help teach us today that God's going to get us through this, what we're going through, folks. Maybe it's not going to be my timing or your timing. It may not even be the governor's timing, but it may be God's timing. And God, he's going to lead us and direct us in the best way to go. So before we get ready to listen to that message, I want to share with you that K.N. found this song, and that's why I love her doing my music, is because she found this song. It's entitled "The Coat of Many Colors." Joseph received a coat of many colors from his dad, and that wasn't the best gift dad ever gave him. Cost him a whole lot of problems, but nevertheless, this girl is telling about a coat that her mama made to her for her. And she just thought of it was so special. And she felt special when she wore it. But the kids all made fun of her. So let's listen to this story and listen to this song as it's a story song to teach us some things that we may need to know this morning. So as we look forward to God's blessing and the message that he wants to share with us today, we're going to allow him to speak to our heart in a simple little way through this song.
Through the years I go wandering once again, back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was away down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, "Perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness." And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors I hurried off to school, just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich, and I told them all the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story mama told me while she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but But I was rich as I could be in my coat of many colors. My mama made for me, made just for me.
I love that. I love that song, folks. I love story songs anyway, but what a special song to have as we listen to the story about Joseph, because he had a coat of many colors. And you know, folks, when we get in these kinds of times that we're in, where we realize there's a lot of homeboundness and a lot of things we can't just go and do as we've always done. When I woke up this morning, I said to Bev, well, what's our plans for today? And you know, we've always had plans for today. And all of a sudden, we got days as there's no plans. It's just, can I say this and you understand? It's just the same old, same old. Man, I got to tell you, that's a little different than for us. So we haven't been used to that. And it's just very difficult to get used to it. But, you know, as we talk about the story this morning, Joseph's life was tremendously changed. And I've been saying right through this whole thing that we've been going through, you just don't have to look very far and you find somebody else that's got a whole lot worse than you do. So maybe we need to quit our complaining and just say, well, excuse me, we're going to make the best of it. We're just going to move forward and do the very best that we possibly can. My voice, I don't know what's going on with it, but it's giving me a little more difficulty each week, and I'm hoping soon to get an appointment to get in and get looked at and see what's going on. But let's get back to the story. I'll try to do my very best. You put on your best listening ears, and let's see if we can do this together. Well, first of all, we need to realize what Joseph was raised in and what I was raised in when I was a kid growing up. No, I didn't know there was two marriages. That was never told to me as a child. There was two of us children by the first marriage, and then the other seven were by the second marriage. And you know, when we moved from Ohio to Michigan, my name was really supposed to be Bauer, but it was changed to Harker. It wasn't changed legally, it was just that it was changed. And you know, so I was growing up Ken Harker. And you know, my stepdad was in my life for 15 years. And then he decided to leave, and they left my mom with all these kids. At 15, I was attending Stanton High School, and that meant you had to quit school and go to work. That's what you did in those days. I was working in the summer for a farmer, so I just continued to work for the farmer. Earned some money to help take care of the kids. Well, when I became 17, I asked Jesus to come into my life. I'd heard about how he loved me so much that he died for me. I didn't understand all of that, but by 17, I wanted him to come into my life. I was going along in the Christian growth experience as fast as probably as most anybody goes. And then when I turned 18, I got a letter in the mailbox. By that time, we lived in Belding. And we lived on James Street. And I got a letter that says, Kenneth Dale Bauer, 826 James Street. I'd ask my mama many times, do I belong in this family? She always gave me some answer that seemed to satisfy her. So I thought it should satisfy me. I decided to open that letter. And it was my biological dad wanting to know, now that I was 18, would I like to get to know him? Would I like to see if we could build a relationship with one another? You know, I have no doubt, folks, when my mama came home, we had quite a conversation. But then, you know, all of a sudden in my Christian experience, it was at a point of time where I thought, started thinking he had no right to treat me the way he treated me because he treated me mean. He told me I never amount to anything and all kinds of things. He was verbal to me. He was mean to me. And I thought he had no right to do that. And all of a sudden I was an angry young man. And it was about that time that I read the book of Joseph, the book of Genesis about Joseph's life. So that's what I wanted to give you in background as I share with you the things that I want to share in this message this morning. We find ourselves sometimes in what I want to call a meanwhile or a meantime experience. Something's going on in our life. At the same time, there's something going on in somebody else's life. As if something going on at this period of time that's going to affect something that's going on in a period of time that lies ahead of this. And I learned that from Joseph's life as we see the different things that he became a part of and that was a part of him as an individual. In the meanwhile, for Joseph's life, was he's being raised in the dysfunctional family. And I got to tell you, folks, they didn't say that way back there. The word dysfunctional wasn't even written yet. I found out later that we was raised in a dysfunctional family, but dysfunctional family method or talking about it in that term is not as old as I am. So they didn't say it way back there when I was a kid. This dysfunctional family of Joseph was that his dad had made him that beautiful coat of many colors, and his other brothers were all kind of jealous of him. There was three moms in that family, and this he was the last one born. There was another one came after him, but he was the first one born from the woman that his dad really loved. And they just thought he was treated better than they were. It's an amazing story as it becomes alive for me. And I first studied it when I was 18 years old. There was two dads in my family. One mom. Just found that out. My brothers aren't really my true brothers. And yet they are my sisters and brothers. Never thought of them any different way. My brothers and my sisters are my brothers and my sisters. Amazing story, because there was so much that spoke to my heart to tell me God was with Joseph and God's going to be with you. And I don't mind telling you that I was really excited to read the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis chapter 37, 1 through 4. Jacob continued to live in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived. This is the account of Jacob and his descendants. Joseph was 17 years old, young man. He took care of the flocks with his sons, with the sons of two men and their wives. Joseph told his father about the bad things that his brothers were doing. He ended up being a tattletale. And he told him about the bad things that Israel really loved. Jacob is called Israel because he became the nation of Israel. But Jacob really loved Joseph because it was a son from his old age. So he made Joseph a special coat or robe, long sleeves. Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them. They hated Joseph and could not speak kindly to him. Now that's hard to be the youngest one, and the baby of the family, and to be the youngest one of the family, and they can't even talk nice to you for anything else, you know. So that was causing a lot of problems. We need to remember we have no control where we're born in our family. But Dad did not help matters when he gave Joseph this special attention by making him this beautiful coat. And then besides that, Joseph one day had a dream. And the guys were out working in the field, and they had this dream. They was making stacks of oats and so on, you know. And Joseph said, I had a dream last night, and all of your things that you made of oats bowed down to me. But he says, please listen to the dream. We're gaining into bundles out in the field, and suddenly mine stood up straight. It remained standing while your bundles gathered around my bundle and bowed down. Then his brothers asked him, are you going to be our king? Are you going to be our ruler? They hated him even more. His dreams and his words, then he had another dream, and he told his brothers, listen, he said, I had another dream. I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to me. When he told his father and his mother, his father criticized him for asking, what's this your dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers come and bow down in front of you? So his brothers were very jealous of him. But the father kept thinking about these things. Can you believe that the God of Jacob, folks, this morning can come through for you as he did for Jacob, as he did for Joseph? You know, it isn't so much, folks, how we start as it is how we finish. We need to focus on not our starting place, but how we finish. So here's a meanwhile time, or a mean time in Joseph's life, in his relationship with his brothers. We've just learned they were jealous of him. They hated him, and they're going to sell him into slavery. The envy and the hatred that was simmering in their hearts for this brother. And all of a sudden it had reached boiling point with trouble about to burst. And they're going to get rid of him. As we read further in the book of Genesis 37, the brothers got this opportunity to have their revenge. They planned to kill Joseph. But thanks to Reuben and to Judah, the older ones, they put him in a cistern and decided to sell him off as a slave. Verse 25 tells us, after they put him in the cistern, they actually sat down and had a meal while he was in the cistern. And he was screaming and crying, and they said that later. Remember the look he had on his face? And all of a sudden, about that same time, in the meantime, wouldn't you know it? There's a group of merchants going by. And the boys go and ask, would you like to buy a slave? We got one we want to sell. And so they sold their brother for the price of a slave. And he went kicking and screaming, folks. I got to tell you, I had feelings when I was thinking, I'm about 17 years old when I'm reading this story, and I have feelings, man, that would be scary. That would really be scary to be taken off somewhere. And in a strange land, you're with people you don't know. You have been sold by your brothers for a slave. You're going somewhere you don't even know. You don't know the language. You don't know anything. And you're only 17 years old. But we always find through the Bible, as God shows us how he had his hand upon this boy, Joseph. Joseph had been taken to Egypt, totally different lifestyle than he had been used to. Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's Egyptian officers, the captain of the guard, bought him for him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. And now listen to what it says. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. Let me do that again. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. He worked in the house of his Egyptian master. Joseph's master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had made everything he did successful. So Potiphar liked Joseph so much that he made him his trusted servant. He's gone from a slave to a trusted servant. He's going from the father's favorite son to a trusted servant. He put him in charge of his household and everything that he owned. From that time on, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's household because of Joseph. And I love that statement. God wants to bless others because of us. So he put Joseph in charge of everything he owed. He said, you just take care of all of this. I'm not even going to concern myself with any of this anymore. We have so many changes in our life these past few months. It has been very difficult for all of us. Have you ever heard it said, if you think your life is tough, look around and you'll find somebody going through a far tougher time than you're going through. Well, that was sure true for Joseph. He was sold by his family as a slave and moved to a nation of Egypt and sold again to the slave of the household of an Egyptian master. Joseph could say, bold I go where I've never gone before. We need to say that. While we're going through this, this is no experience that I've ever experienced in my lifetime. So I have to say at 85, bold I go away, I've never gone before. But I want us to get one main thing. That's the thing that I got when I studied Joseph's life when I was 17. The Lord was with Joseph, and he will be with you, and he'll be with me. And I knew that that had to be true. I heard that phrase different times as I read. Sometimes it said the Lord was Joseph, so he became a successful man. Sometimes it just says the Lord was with him. The Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was upon the owner of the house. The Lord was with Joseph and exalted and extended kindness to him. The Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I think I need to hear that today. I think you need to hear that today. We're living in some down times, and we need some encouragement from his word that reminds us God's with us. God's with us. He's going before us, he's behind us, he's underneath us. There's so many places where God says he's with us. And he's reminding that he wants to bring us under the protective care of his wings. He wants to gather us together close to him. You know, in the meantime, Joseph's life, he was in a place of prominence. And all of a sudden, he ended up in a prison. What else can happen to this young man? Can I tell you, he's only 17 years old. In my heart, I can feel his fears so much has changed in his life. From a man loved by his father becoming a slave. In the meantime, his brothers told their dad a lie about what happened to Joseph. He didn't know that. But they killed an animal and they put blood on it and they took it to Joseph. Let me read it to you in the book of Genesis. So they took Joseph's robe and they killed a goat and he dipped the robe in the blood. Then they bought this special robe with long sleeves to their father and said, we found this. You better examine it to see whether it is your son's robe or not. And of course, Jacob recognized it. It's my son's robe, he said. A wild animal must have eaten him. Joseph must have been torn to pieces. Then to show his grief, the dad grabbed his clothes and he put on sackcloth around his waist. And he mourned for his son a long time. And all of his sons and daughters came to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. You know what, folks? You seem like those boys would have wanted to say, well, Dad, that story's not true. And Jacob said to his sons and to his daughters, I'll mourn for my son until I die. This is how Joseph's father cried out. How sad. Meanwhile, over there in Egypt, Joseph's working for the Potiphar. working for Pharaoh's wife, Potiphar. He's a captain of the guard. But in Genesis 39, Joseph was a well-built and handsome young man. After a while, his master's wife began to desire Joseph, so she said, "Come to bed with me." But Joseph refused and said to her, "My master doesn't concern himself about anything in the house. He trusts me with everything he owns. No one in this house is greater than I. He has not kept back anything he expected me because, except you, because you're his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Although she kept asking him, day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. One day she grabbed a hold of his coat and he ran off, and she had the coat holding in her hand. When her husband came home, she said, "See, this is Joseph's clothes that's here at my house." Then she told him the same story, the Hebrew slave you brought in to take care of all these things. He wanted to fool around with me. But when I screamed, he ran off outside and left his clothes with me. When Potiphar heard his wife's story, especially when he said, "This is what your slave did to me," he became angry. And Joseph's master arrested Joseph and had him put in prison where the king's prisoners were. He was kept there. He was suffering, dear people, for a false accusation. He was suffering. He went from the favorite slave, favorite son, to the favorite slave, to being a prisoner. What else can go wrong in this man's life? Well, I think we need to take a little break. And KN found a song that says, Meanwhile, we need to know that God is caring for us. Meanwhile, you need to know that God was caring for Joseph and that God was going to watch out for him and take care of him and be with him in everything he had. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
In that very moment when you tried so hard but failed, your own strength betrays you, so you moan, you weep and wail. Haunted by some big mistakes you think will do you in, you don't even dare to hope that losers ever win.
Meanwhile, God is working all things for your good. Meanwhile, he is doing what you never could. Impossible, improbable, well, that's just his style. Wait and see what God is doing meanwhile.
God is up to something, even though you may not see. His ways are much higher than you can ever believe. There will still be rainy days that seem to never end, nights that seem so long and cold, the doubts come creeping and creeping in.
Meanwhile, God is working all things for your good. Meanwhile, he is doing what you never could. Impossible, improbable, well, that's just his style. Wait and see what God is doing. Working on things for your good. Meanwhile, he is doing what you never could. Impossible, improbable, well, that's just his style. Wait and see what God is doing. Wait and see what God is doing. Wait and see what God is doing.
Meanwhile, that's exactly what Joseph had to do. He had to wait and see what God was going to do. God was going to minister to his need. So off he goes to prison. He's found guilty of a crime he never did. It's false accusation. I want to call this the silent time. The silent time because now he's adjusting. Man, he had so many things to do when he was working for Potiphar. He was in charge of the entire estate of this man and this woman. Everything was busy. Now all of a sudden, there he is in the jail. You know, sometimes we don't want these silent times. We don't want times where we're not in charge. And Joseph's status had changed so much. A favorite son to a favorite slave to a favorite executor. And now, believe it or not, he's going to be a favorite prisoner. You know what? One thing that Joseph did that I learned and I've been special, it added to my life. He remained faithful through even though the afflictions of false accusations or whatever was made against him. He remained faithful to who he was. As the story continues in Joseph's interpretation of some dreams of a cupbearer in the book of Genesis chapter 40, sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers. And the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, he had put them in custody in the house of captain of guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. There's two guys that were put in jail because they were trying to do something against the king. The captain of a guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody, and one night they both dreamed. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw them that they were troubled. So he asked the Pharaoh's officer, who were with him in custody, is this his master's house? And he asked, why are your faces so downcast? They said to him, we had a dream, and there's no one to interpret our dream. And so Joseph said, does not interpretations belong to God? Please tell me your dream, and I'll see what I can do with it. And for the cupbearer, I don't have time to go into the other one's deal. The cupbearer, Joseph said, your dream means in 3 days, the king's going to call for you, and he's going to restore you to your position that you had. And I want to share, there's really danger when the silent time is over. It's so easy to forget the lessons that we should have learned through the silent time. Joseph had said to the cupbearer, when you get out of life, when you're back in life and you're doing the things that you do for the king, would you speak a word to him that I've been put in prison unjustly? But sadly, verse 23 tells us, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. In fact, he forgot him for at least 2 years. Until one time the king had a dream, and he needed somebody to interpret the dream. And the cupbearer remembered Joseph. You know what? I got a couple of things I want us to get out of that. God's never going to forget you. God has said he wrote your name in the palm of his hand. God tells us that no one can get us out of the hand of God. When our hand is in God's hand, he said no one can release you. Then there's a beautiful verse given to us when Joshua was getting ready to go into the nation of the promised land. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my right hand. All that rages against you is going to come to nothing. We need to know that God's going to help us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to give us the courage that we need and the things that we need. And he wants to teach us some lessons. And I believe there should be some lessons in what I've come to call homebound time. All the way through my life, when things have been just a little different than we can maybe thought there was going to be, I thought there must be a lesson to learn from this. I believe we as small business are going to learn some lessons. I believe big business like government, I believe we're going to learn some lessons through this downtime. I believe not only that, I believe churches are going to learn some lessons about this downtime. I think we as individuals, whether we're Christian or not Christian, I believe we're going to learn some lessons. I believe we need to find out some of our priorities that we maybe didn't understand. Let me tell you what happened. In Joseph's life, even though there he was in prison, and even though he was forgotten for 2 years, all of a sudden there comes a message to the prison. The king wants to speak with Joseph. You know, the king had a couple bad dreams. And he was wondering what those dreams were about. And then the cupbearer remembered. After Joseph interpreted the king's dreams, and the king's dream being interpreted was simply this way, that there was going to be 7 good years, and there's going to be 7 bad years. And they needed to save up in the 7 good years so they can make it through the 7 bad years. And Joseph now is about 30 years old. He was assigned to that task. We want you to be in charge of this task of making sure we save what we should in the good years so that we can be taken care of in the difficult years. And that was a tremendous undertaking for Joseph to do. And yet he was in the right place at the right time. And remember, God was with him. Joseph was used by God to bring restoration to Egypt, to his own family, and also to save the nation of Israel. He was faced with affliction and different things that he went through in his life. But God had prepared him to do this job. Now we fast forward about 13 years, and there's a need in the family of Joseph for some food. So meanwhile, while Joseph was saving up food in Egypt, Abraham's family was going hungry, Joseph's family. And then one day Dad said to his 10 sons, "Go to buy some food. I understand there's food for sale in Egypt." When they came, they bowed down before Joseph. Remember the dream that Joseph had? "One day we're gonna bow down before you." Joseph recognized his brothers when they came in, but they didn't recognize him. The beautiful story of how Joseph dealt with his brothers is recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 42 through 44. You want something to do during this downtime? Just read the book of Genesis, chapter 42 and 44. Now, Joseph put his brothers through a few little tests, but the end result was in chapter 45, verses 1 through 5. I got to share this with you. I believe it's so beautiful the way it is told. Joseph could no longer control his emotions in front of everyone who was standing around him, so he cried out, "Have everyone leave. No one else here with Joseph but told his brothers who he was. He cried so loud that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? His brothers couldn't answer him because they were so afraid. Is my dad still alive? I love that. My stepdad had just left. And this man is crying, is my dad still alive? His brothers couldn't answer him at first. Please, Joseph said, come close to me. Joseph said to his brothers, when you did what you did to me, Joseph said, when you sold me into slavery to be taken to the land of Egypt, now don't be angry or sad at yourselves that you sold me. Now listen to what he says. This is how he looked at it from the beginning. There must be something God has for me to do. Joseph said, God sent me ahead of you to save lives. Sometimes, dear people, we go through some struggles. In the meantime, God reveals things that were wrong and that should be made right, especially within the family unit. In our downtime as families, I believe we need to be asking ourselves, is there something that I need to make right within my family? You know, I've been seeing so many families split up and friction in the family and so on. You know, I just love it that this story is in the Bible to tell us that the family is the most important thing. Kids shouldn't sell brother to slavery. But God's going to use it. You know, there's an interesting verse. Because here it is many years later. About 39, they figure Joseph is now. He's about 39 years old, and all of a sudden, he's got his encounter with his brothers. And he's going to make their life so much different than it was. But you know something, folks? There's a verse that says, know for sure that your sin will find you out. Sometimes it's in these struggles of life where we let something happen when we were just living life just maybe in our selfish reasons or whatever. And all of a sudden we did some things or said some things that we never should have said, that we never should have done. I believe that maybe there's one lesson that if you need this lesson, we need to come to the point to say, maybe I need to amend, make some amends. God is working it out through the struggles that Joseph had been going through. And now through the struggles that his brothers and sisters are going through with lack of food. And now Joseph being in the meanwhile, Joseph's in a position to be able to help them. And Joseph wants to help them. He did send food with them. And there's a lot in those chapters. You read that story, you'll enjoy it. But listen, the bottom line is that all of a sudden here now is Joseph hugging and kissing his brothers and just so glad to have some time and once to enjoy the things that they could enjoy once again. Now, that's not the end of the story, but I got to give you the last part of the story. Joseph said, we're going to bring the whole family together. Some choice land down here that I'm going to see if the king will give a place for you to live. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold. And now, you know, he's got his father there, and he's got his brothers there, and he's got his sisters there. His family is there. I love one of the portions of scripture that said that when Joseph was thinking about these things, this is what he said to them in Genesis chapter 50. Pharaoh replied, and when he told him that his daddy had died, Pharaoh replied, "Go bury your daddy." So he went to bury his daddy, and Joseph and his family all went together, and they went to the place and they buried Dad. Joseph had told them that this was a realization that God had sent him there ahead of them. So that's why they sold him into slavery. Sometimes after his daddy was buried, this thought came up. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us now and pay back for the wrong that we did unto him when he was younger." And so they put together a letter and said, "Daddy said you should forgive us." Daddy said, "Please forgive them." They didn't know what they were doing, so to speak. And when Joseph read the letter that they wrote, their dad didn't write it, they wrote it. It says, Joseph wept when he spoke to them. His brothers came and fell down before him, and he said, "Behold, we're your servants." But Joseph said, "Don't fear me. I'm not in the place of God." He said, "I'm not in the place of God." And he told them, God meant it to good. Well, my time is gone all of a sudden, I noticed. So we got to get a song on here. But I'm going to tell you, this song is teaching us that what happened in that thing was they were healed. They were healed, folks. They all were healed, and they lived and spent some time together as a family. So God bless you. Be with you what you're going through.
You make so many nights you've asked the question why, but the Father says there's purpose in your suffering to see his glory. You cannot deny there's a healing taking place in you today. Jesus Christ, the healer, is passing by your way. Let your faith arise within you and believe it when you say, I am healed in Jesus' name. You may be sitting there today, feeling hopeless, overwhelmed by the hurt that's deep inside. But the healing balm of Gilead is flowing. It's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a healing taking place in you today. Jesus Christ, the healer, is passing by your way. Let your faith arise within you and believe it when you say, I am healed in Jesus' name. I am healed, I am healed. I have felt the touch of Jesus, I am healed, I am healed, I am healed. I have felt the touch of Jesus, I am healed. Jesus Christ, the healer, is passing by your way. Let your faith arise within you and believe it when you say, I am healed in Jesus.